Random House Audiobooks presents Selected Stories of John Updike, read for you by the author.
In walks these three girls in nothing but bathing suits. I'm in the third checkout slot with my back to the door, so I don't see them until they're over by the bread. The one that caught my eye first was the one in the plaid green two-piece. She was a chunky kid, with a good tan and a sweet, broad, soft-looking can with those two crescents of white just under it, where the sun never seems to hit, at the top of the backs of her legs. I stood there with my hand on a box of Hi-Ho crackers, trying to remember if I rang it up or not. I ring it up again, and the customer starts giving me hell. She's one of these cash register watchers, a witch about 50 with rouge on her cheekbones and no eyebrows, and I know it made her day to trip me up. She'd been watching cash registers for 50 years and probably never seen a mistake before. By the time I got her feathers smoothed and her goodies into a bag, she gives me a little snort in passing. If she'd been born at the right time, they would have burned her over in Salem. By the time I get her on her way, the girls had circled around the bread and were coming back, without a pushcart, back my way along the counters, in the aisle between the checkouts and the special bins. They didn't even have shoes on. There was this chunky one, with the two-piece. It was bright green, and the seams on the bra were still sharp, and her belly was still pretty pale, so I guess she just got it, the suit. There was this one, with one of those chubby berry faces, the lips all bunched together under her nose, this one, and a tall one, with black hair that hadn't quite frizzed right, and one of these sunburns right across under the eyes, and a chin that was too long. You know, the kind of girl other girls think is very striking and attractive, but never quite makes it, as they very well know, which is why they like her so much. And then the third one, that wasn't quite so tall. She was the queen. She kind of led them, the other two peeking around and making their shoulders round. She didn't look around, not this queen. She just walked straight on slowly on these long white prima donna legs. She came down a little hard on her heels, as if she didn't walk in her bare feet that much, putting down her heels and then letting the weight move along to her toes as if she was testing the floor with every step, putting a little deliberate extra action into it. You never know for sure how girls' minds work. Do you really think it's a mind in there, or just a little buzz like a bee in a glass jar? But you got the idea she had talked the other two into coming in here with her, and now she was showing them how to do it. Walk slow and hold yourself straight. She had on a kind of dirty pink, beige maybe, I don't know, bathing suit with a little nubble all over it, and, what got me, the straps were down. They were off her shoulders, looped loose around the cool tops of her arms, and I guess as a result the suit had slipped a little on her, so all around the top of the cloth there was this shining rim. If it hadn't been there, you wouldn't have known there could have been anything whiter than those shoulders. With the straps pushed off, there was nothing between the top of the suit and the top of her head except just her. This clean, bare plane of the top of her chest, down from the shoulder bones like a dented sheet of metal tilted in the light. I mean, it was more than pretty. She had sort of oaky hair that the sun and salt had bleached, done up in a bun that was unraveling, and a kind of prim face. Walking into the A&P with your straps down, I suppose it's the only kind of face you can have. She held her head so high, her neck, coming up out of those white shoulders, looked kind of stretched, but I didn't mind. The longer her neck was, the more of her there was. She must have felt in the corner of her eye, me and over my shoulder Stokesy in the second slot watching, but she didn't tip. Not this queen. She kept her eyes moving across the racks, and stopped and turned so slow it made my stomach rub the inside of my apron and buzzed to the other two, who kind of huddled against her for relief. And then they all three of them went up the cat and dog food, breakfast cereal, macaroni, rice, raisins, seasonings, spread spaghetti, soft drinks, crackers, and cookies aisle. From the third slot, I looked straight up this aisle to the meat counter, and I watched them all the way. The fat one with the tan sort of fumbled with the cookies, but on second thought, she put the package back. The sheep pushing their carts down the aisle, the girls were walking against the usual traffic, not that we have one-way signs or anything, were pretty hilarious. You could see them when Queenie's white shoulders dawned on them, kind of jerk or hop or hiccup, but their eyes snapped back to their own baskets, and on they pushed. I bet you could set off dynamite in an A&P, and the people would by and large keep reaching and checking oatmeal off their lists and muttering, "Let me see, there was a third thing. Began with A. Asparagus. No, ah, yes, applesauce." Or whatever it is they do mutter. But there was no doubt. This jiggled them. A few house slaves in pin curlers even looked around after pushing their carts past to make sure what they had seen was correct. You know, it's one thing to have a girl in a bathing suit down on the beach, where what with the glare nobody can look at each other much anyway. And another thing, in the cool of the A&P, under the fluorescent lights, against all those stacked packages, with her feet paddling along naked over our checkerboard, green and cream rubber tile floor. "Oh, Daddy," Stokesy said beside me, "I feel so faint." "Darling," I said, "hold me tight." Stokesy's married, with two babies chalked up on his fuselage already, but as far as I can tell, that's the only difference. He's 22, and I was 19 this April. "Is it done?" he asks, the responsible married man finding his voice. I forgot to say he thinks he is going to be manager some sunny day, maybe in 1990 when it's called the Great Alexandrov and Petrushki Tea Company or something. What he meant was, our town is 5 miles from a beach, with a big summer colony out on the point. But we're right in the middle of town, and the women generally put on a shirt or shorts or something before they get out of the car into the street. And anyway, these are usually women with 6 children and varicose veins mapping their legs, and nobody, including them, could care less. As I say, we're right in the middle of town, and if you stand at our front doors, you can see 2 banks and the Congregational Church and the newspaper store and 3 real estate offices and about 27 old freeloaders tearing up Central Street because the sewer broke again. It's not as if we're on the Cape. We're north of Boston, and there's people in this town haven't seen the ocean for 20 years. The girls had reached the meat counter and were asking McMahon something. He pointed, they pointed, and they shuffled out of sight behind a pyramid of Diet Delight peaches. All that was left for us to see was old McMahon patting his mouth and looking after them, sizing up their joints. Poor kids. I began to feel sorry for them. They couldn't help it. Now here comes the sad part of the story. At least my family says it's sad, but I don't think it's so sad myself. The store's pretty empty, it being Thursday afternoon, so there was nothing much to do except lean on the register and wait for the girls to show up again. The whole store was like a pinball machine, and I didn't know which tunnel they'd come out of. After a while, they come around out of the far aisle, around the light bulbs, records at discount of the Caribbean Six or Tony Martin Sings or some such gunk you wonder they waste the wax on, 6 packs of candy bars, and plastic toys done up in cellophane that fall apart when a kid looks at them anyway. Around they come, Queenie still leading the way and holding a little gray jar in her hand. Slots 3 through 7 are unmanned, and I could see her wondering between Stokes and me. But Stokesy, with his usual luck, draws an old party in baggy gray pants who stumbles up with 4 giant cans of pineapple juice. What do these bums do with all the pineapple juice? I've often asked myself. So the girls come to me. Queenie puts down the jar, and I take it into my finger.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?